service of burden from Moldova and work on a heart so I could show you all the pictures in the world, and it probably really wouldn't make much difference. I'd like to just open with a word of prayer. Father, it is good to be in your house tonight, and I'm glad that we can gather together and praise your wonderful name. Dear God, you are worthy to be praised, and I pray, dear God, we'd remember that whether there's a virus or not a virus or whatever's going on. Dear God, you are worthy to be praised, and Lord, I sure thank you we got a God worth praising. Dear God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, dear God, even in my own life, dear God. You'd make the burden, dear God, you'd renew it and make it fresh. And dear God, you'd speak to these people and you'd take some of that burden, dear God, and you'd take it from my heart and you'd put it on them, dear God. I do thank you for them, dear God, for their help and their support and their prayers and their friendship, dear God. I thank you so, so very much. And dear God, I pray again you'd help us this evening. In the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Again, I do want to tell you, just in case anybody wasn't here this morning, I do want to tell you so much that we appreciate the support so, so very much. I know that it's hardworking people that are giving so that we can be there in Moldova. I do appreciate that. I think if you think about it, it is an amazing thing that Grace Fellowship Baptist Church can reach all the way from Portales, New Mexico to Chisinau, Moldova. I just think that's still the thought of that just still amazes me. Well, let me tell you a little bit. I did have some pictures, but I'll tell you, I do want to share a little bit about the work. I promise if I love to talk about Moldova, I love to tell about it. And so if I talk long, I promise I'll preach short. And I'll get you out of here at least by 10, so don't worry about it. But anyway, I am Brother Wes Neal, and this is my wife, Valerie, and our youngest, Parker Jane. And we are from Lighthouse Baptist Church in La Porte, Texas. La Porte is part of that huge Houston area, so we're down on the southeast side, a very industrial part of town. We have lots of petrochemical plants and refineries and the ship channels right there. And we're just a small, small independent Baptist church. We are no bigger than y'all. And I say that to encourage you. You can do great things, little as much. If God is in it, you never know what God will do. God called me to Moldova in 2012 during a midweek service when another missionary from the country came by. And at that time, I had a good job, and I had a ministry that I'd been in for quite some time out of my local church there that allowed me to preach every weekend that I really, really enjoyed. And I can be honest with you, I thought if the Lord called me to something else, I thought I knew what it was, and I was not looking for Moldova. But I guess the Holy Spirit came looking for me. And so he called us to Moldova in 2012. And you're saying, where is Moldova? That is what everybody says. So I'm glad you asked. Moldova is in Eastern Europe. It is between the country of Romania and Ukraine. It's a very, very small country. I was trying to find a state that I could compare it to in landmass. And it's a little bigger than the state of Maryland. It's about a third bigger than Maryland, but that was the closest. So it's a very small country with about 2.5 million people in it. So very, very small. And it's a unique in many ways. One of those ways is over on the eastern side of Moldova. There's a little strip of land called Transnistria, which is what they call an unrecognized breakaway republic. Which what that means is it has all the trappings of a country, all the characteristics of a country, yet no one recognizes them. When the Soviet Union fell, Moldova was part of the Soviet Union, and when the Soviet Union fell in the early 90s, that part of Moldova fought a war with the rest of Moldova, and they had the backing of Russian troops, and so they won. And there's another about almost 500,000 people, like 450,000 people over there in that little narrow strip of land. And it has their own government and their own currency and their own army. And but they are not recognized by anybody in the world as being a country. It's like going back in time when you go over to Transnistria or in Russia. The Russian, they call it Prednestrovia. And it's a completely Russian-speaking area. And when you go over there, you still see big billboards with the old Soviet hammer and sickle on there. You still see statues of Lenin. And I'm telling you all that because that'll play in a little bit to sharing the work with you here as things unfold and we go down the road a little bit, but it is just, they still want to be a part of the Soviet Union. There's just no Soviet Union for them to be a part of. But if they had it their way, I mean, I'll tell you about it as we go on. I'm getting ahead of myself. I get excited. I would tell you the two things that shape and define Moldova's attitudes the most probably is, number one, is the Orthodox Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church. 97-98% of Moldovans would say that they are Orthodox, whether they ever go to church or not. They are baptized Orthodox as babies, and they consider themselves that they are Orthodox, and it's very difficult to overcome that because they consider that part of their national identity. That is part of being Moldovan, is being Orthodox. And they ask me, they tell me, we're a Christian country. Why are you here? We are a Christian. I've had them very patiently explain it to me on the street that we're all Christians. You might as well leave. But so there's a lot of, we would think of it as being similar to the Catholic Church, and then lots of ritualism and superstition and tradition. But there are some differences. The priests they marry, and there's some other differences. And if you told the Orthodox that they were like the Catholics, they would probably get fighting mad with you. But that's how we would really see it in the big, big picture of things. They just got religion, just empty, vain religion, and the traditions of men have made the word of God of no effect. So that is one thing that really defines Moldovan culture, is the Orthodox Church. I would say probably the other thing, in my opinion, that most forms Moldova's attitudes is that time that they were under the Soviet rule, the time that they were part of the Soviet Union. I would say that's the other thing, because there's still, you know, that they would teach them atheism classes, and it was a very anti-God period of time, and so there's still some holdover from that. And then just in their mindset, the way they think about things sometimes is still very Soviet in their thinking. But let me move on. I don't want to just be a travelogue. The first 3 years we were there, we worked with another missionary, the one that came through in 2012. And really, he had big plans to do some things, housing orphans with Christian couples. And that's really what God used to touch my heart and to call me, and really broke my wife's heart for that we thought we were going to be raising some Pasila Moldovan orphans. But all of that just never materialized. It all fell through, and no fault of our own. The vision for all of that this other fella had, it just did not come to fruition. And so after three, it just didn't work out. We'll leave it at that. And it was time to move on after 3 years. And God confirmed that in my heart, and I had my pastor's blessing that he thought that was the right thing to do. But during that first 3 years, I'll kind of tell you about that first, what we did during, so we've been there in November, will be 6 years. 6 years that we've been in Novot in Moldova. I know you would think a guy as old as me, I've been there 20 years, but I was an old guy when I went to the mission field. I was already getting on up in years, but I sure don't regret going, I can tell you that. I sure don't regret that. But so the first 3 years working with the other missionary, the orphan thing didn't work out, but we were going weekly over there to that unrecognized breakaway republic that I told you about. We went over there every week, and we preached a service in a small apartment with a family called the Gromov family. And I wish I could show you pictures of them. I really wish I could. But we went over there every week, and I'm telling you, we had some good services in that little apartment. We had some services where God fluttered down in there, and man, it was just sweet. I'm telling you, we had some good services. And we would have, it was their family, Brother Vanya and his wife, and then they had three children, and then there was another older man who was actually the pastor of the local kind of little Baptist group that they had there. He would come and he would write down everything I said, and I thought, man, I hope you're taking that and preaching it to your people Sunday. And he would come, and then some other visitors. We had another young woman that came for quite a while that you could tell God really was doing something in her heart. But we did that during those 3 years faithfully, and probably one of the highlights of that first 3 years, in 2016, we decided, it was in a place called Mayak Prednestrovia. And they call it and what's interesting, I'm from Lighthouse Baptist Church, and Mayak is the Russian word for lighthouse. And that's where we were going. And they call it a village, but it's not like you would envision a traditional Eastern European village. It was left over from the Soviet time, and you would be driving out in all of these agricultural fields. They grew lots of sunflowers in that area for producing sunflower seeds and sunflower oil, and it would just be gorgeous. It was just so beautiful when those sunflowers were blooming. It would just be yellow, just, I mean, as far as the eye could see. And I had a beautiful picture of that to show you, but you'll just have to imagine it. But I'm telling you, it was pretty. But we decided we were going to, but anyway, you'd be driving in all these agricultural fields, and then just all of a sudden, this group of apartment blocks came up out of the fields out of nowhere, because during the Soviet times, it was a big collective farm, and it was also a broadcasting center. There was a huge antenna tower array there, where it was a shortwave broadcasting center where they broadcast all that Soviet propaganda all over the world, which that's why it was called Lighthouse. They were spreading their version of the light, which was light that was darkness. Anyway, but we decided to have a VBS, and so the man there, and I had an interpreter at this time, a Moldovan man named Boris. He would go with us every week to interpret for me during the services. I do speak some Russian. I started learning Russian as an older man. My Russian is good enough for the supermarket and for the taxi driver. It is not good enough for preaching. And so I had an interpreter that would go over there with me during that time. And so I told he and the local man that, okay, well, if any heat comes down on us, you know, I'm the American, so you have to take it. Because going over into Prednestrovia, like I said, it's another world. When we crossed the border, we would have to stop at a border checkpoint. We would cross through, actually, Russian soldier peacekeepers who were there with their AK-47s thrown over their shoulder. And we would have to cross through them, and then we would come to a checkpoint, and they'd take our passports and everything. And they still actually, there were two kinds of officers there, customs officers in blue uniforms and these security officers in green uniforms that still call themselves KGB. That's what their name tag said, was KGB. That's what they still refer to themselves as. And we had to get like a little temporary permit that was only good for a certain number of hours that we could be in Prednestrovia, and then we had to be out. And praise the Lord, in all that time crossing the border, we never had any problem. Lots of Americans would report problems with the officers there in the border. But anyway, so it's just a different world is what I'm saying. So, man, the first day of the VBS, it was great. We had 21 kids. We just did it outside in like a little playground area they had there at the apartment blocks. We had 21 kids come, and we had seven adults. And my interpreter gave them a real clear, good gospel presentation, and then we played a bunch of games with them, and they just had a ball, and we had juice and snacks for them and everything. They had so much fun, they did not want to leave. Those kids did not want to leave, but we told them we'd be back. And so the next time we came back, long story short, the mayor of the mayor of the place was waiting for us, and they debated with her for a long time, the guys that were helping me, and I don't know why they bothered, because I knew how. Anyway, she shut us down. Long story short, she shut us down. You can't do this. So, all right. So we were loading up in the car to head back to Chisinau, where we live, the capital of Moldova, Chisinau, of about, 500,000-600,000 people, depending on whose statistics you read. Anyway, we're loading up thinking we're just going to go back home, and then the police show up. And then it got a little scary because they took our documents, they took our passports, and made us follow them to the police station in the next bigger city over. And they took the two national guys in that were helping me. They took them into the police station, and they interrogated them for about 45 minutes. And then they made them sign an official warning statement that they would never do anything like that again, or that they would be in big, big trouble. So I'm just telling you, be thankful for what you got. And we better make good use of it while we've got it. While we can get that gospel light out there in America, we better be getting it, because there's a lot of people that would like to see it more that way. But anyway, that to me was one of the highlights of the things we still continue to go and have our service after that. We were still able to go over there and hold the service in the apartment, and we did that for quite some time. And then so the next 3 years since then, our ministry has been more focused in the city where we live. Moldova is really there's a lot of dualities in Moldova. The official language is Romanian, but about half the country still prefers to speak Russian. And so there's a lot of things in Moldova, and sometimes they'll speak it both at the same time, kind of like Tex-Mex. And they'll just mix it up and speak Russian. And people always ask me, are the languages similar? No, not at all. Romanian is a Latin language like Spanish or Italian, and Russian is a Slavic language. And they are absolutely nothing alike, different alphabets and different grammars, but they manage to mix them up. And so we live in the capital, and the capital is a big city like anywhere. If you went into rural Moldova, a lot of places wouldn't have indoor plumbing still. They would still be using the outhouse. But like I say, living in the city, it's pretty much like living in a city anywhere. And so what we've done for during these 3 years is I get out on the street a lot with the gospel tracks. I mean, my language isn't that good, but that little track can talk. And they'll actually take the tracks fairly well. You never know what happens to them after they take them, but they will take them fairly well. And since we've been there, we've actually, I've written and had translated three different titles that we've had produced and that we use over there. My daughter helped a lot with the design and the layout on those and everything with the graphic part of all that. Unfortunately, on the street, there's others out on the street, too. We see the JWs, or at least before. That's, I guess, one positive thing about the virus is since the virus, I haven't seen any of the Jehovah's Witnesses on the street. Before the virus, they were everywhere. They would be on every street corner. They had these real slick portable literature displays. It was slick. It all folds up in like a little dolly. They can just roll it away. But they would be on every corner with those things, and we'd see them in pairs. Well, you could always spot them with their little watchtower folders and stuff. But we would see them in pairs coming down the street all the time. So they are really after it. We see the Mormons downtown all the time. Of course, the JWs are always nationals, and the Mormons are always almost Americans. And the JWs do have a couple of big kingdom halls there in Chisinau. And I've heard in some of the villages they've really made inroads. But we see the Mormons out on the street pretty much every time we go. And I don't know if in Portales or if any of you are old enough to even remember what Hare Krishnas are. Hare Krishnas were big in the 70s and in the 80s, and it's kind of an offshoot of Hinduism. And you would see them in big cities in America with their kind of Hindu-looking robes on, and they would they distribute a lot of literature and things. We actually see Hare Krishnas on the street, a small group of them on the street of Chisinau, Moldova. They'll come down the street doing their chanting thing that they do and doing their little, they'll have the girls doing this little Hindu dance thing as they go down the sidewalk. And so, but the problem, because the way they're taught by the Orthodox Church, they lump anything that is not the Orthodox Church into the same group as, well, you're just a cult. And so they see us on the street handing out literature, and so they almost immediately put us in the same group with the JWs and the Mormons and the Hare Krishnas. Well, you're just a cult. So that's another thing we have to try to overcome there. So what I did, as I told you, I had my interpreter for the first 3 years with this other missionary. When we parted ways and we went out on our own, he and I are very good friends. He actually still helps me with some things, but I lost him pretty much as an interpreter for a long time. And so the Lord just never has worked anything else out along those lines. I've tried and I've prayed and just nothing has ever worked out. English in Moldova is not real common. It's becoming more common, but high functioning English is not real common. But what I did was I had to do some things to keep my residence status there. And so I started teaching English in Moldova as a way to make some contacts and to keep my residence status. I started teaching English. And so what I would do is on Saturday, I had a free English event every Saturday where anybody could come. The school that I worked for, they would advertise it on their Facebook page, and anybody could come and interact with a native speaker. That was me, native speaker. And so they could come hear a native speaker talk and interact with a native speaker, which is kind of a big deal. And so, but then what I would do, and we would just discuss a short story or whatever, but then afterwards I would invite them to stay for Bible study. And we've studied completely through the Gospel of John, the book of Galatians, the book of Philippians, and actually now in Bible study I'm doing the book of Romans. But I managed through that English discussion club and through that Bible study to gather up a small group of Moldovans with high-functioning English that are interested enough to let me preach to them and have good enough English that they can understand what I'm preaching. And so that is really a pretty amazing thing to be able to have gathered at least a few. And I have one American man that comes that lives there in Chișinău, Moldova. I have an American fellow, an older man that comes. I'll tell you a quick story. I don't know, Baptist preachers never have a quick story, but it's a story, and I think it's a good story. One Saturday at Discussion Club, this big Korean guy showed up. I mean, he was a big guy, but he was a Korean. And I'm like, so he kind of stood out in Moldova. And so we have Discussion Club, and then I invite people to stay for Bible study, and so he stays for Bible study. And you can tell he's really locked in. And afterwards, as soon as I'm finished, he just almost comes running up to me. And he says, I had the book of John for him, you know, for the study. And he comes up to me and he's got that in his hand and he's saying, "This is the King James Bible. This is the King James Bible." And yeah, this is, I'm a KGB believer. I'm a KGB believer. I'm like, KGB. Oh, KJV. He was a Christian man, saved, born again, had been involved with an independent Baptist work in South Korea, and had come to Moldova for a short stay, and was just feeling lonely because, of course, there was nobody for him to communicate with in Korean. He didn't know Romanian. He was trying to learn. He was studying Romanian, trying to learn Romanian. And so he found on Facebook the notice about the English Discussion Club. And he had spent some time in Canada, so his English was pretty good. And so he thought, wow, at least I can get some fellowship. And he knew nothing about the Bible study because they didn't advertise that on their Facebook page, just the English event. And so you just never know how God is going to use things, that all the way this man, this lonely fellow from South Korea that wanted some Christian fellowship, ended up finding it. And he was really instrumental in us starting to meet on Sunday mornings because he wanted to have somewhere to go to church. I'd been, like I say, trying to gather up a little group and kind of get him taught a little bit. But he was really pushing to have somewhere to go to church. And there was another young woman who seemed like she had gotten saved. Natalie was her name, Natalia. We called her Natalie. And she came to the discussion club and the Bible study for quite some time. And you could almost see when the Lord turned the light on anyway. And she is a sad story because isn't it amazing that not long after that, her dream job in Italy got offered to her. One preacher friend of mine said, "Brother, that's probably evidence that she did get saved, because the devil knows what to dangle out there and get people away." And so we tried to stay in touch with Natalie, but she has since just pretty much disappeared, I guess. But anyway, so we had Jaden and Natalie, and they were wanting somewhere to go to church. So then after that, we started meeting on Sunday morning. We would actually meet there in a classroom with a school where I taught, and I had so we had the Sunday meeting for quite some time. Just before everything happened with COVID, let me back up a little bit. What I need is a national. That's what I need. I am an old man, and my Russian is never going to be good enough to preach. It's just not. I just do not have enough time left to get high enough. At the rate that I'm learning at this age, I just don't have. It's just not going to happen. That's just the truth, being honest with you. But there was a friend of mine who pastors an independent Baptist church in Oregon, was at a meeting in Ukraine. And he got to talking to this fella that has real good English, this Ukrainian fella at the meeting. And the fella introduced his wife to my friend, to Brother Brad. And he told him, he said, my wife is Moldovan. And he said, oh, really? I've been to Moldova. Because he had come to visit us, this pastor friend of mine. And this Ukrainian was just shocked that he had been to Moldova. Long story short, he was real excited to find out that there was a missionary in Chisinau and was real interested in meeting us. And in March, just before everything shut down, Brother Victor and his wife Irina, they came over to Chisinau, spent the weekend with us, and we spent some time with them. And he preached for me on Sunday morning, and it just seemed like it went real well. And Victor, he is very interested in coming to Chisinau and helping me full time. And I know God knows and God knows best, and I believe all that with all my heart. But near as I can tell, that's what I need, is I need Victor to come. And he's got a lot of experience translating. He could translate for me. And then hopefully my vision would be to see it gradually switch the other way around. If, you know, make sure that we're good doctrinally and get him discipled. And I would like to see him come. And then I would like to see him be the number one man and me be the number two man. I think that would just be marvelous. And so, but what you say, well, what's preventing that? Well, right now the rules, the border, because of the virus, he can't get into Moldova. They're being very restrictive about who they'll let in. And right now they're only letting in Moldovan citizens or people that already have a long-term permission to stay, and we have that. And so we'll be able to go back. So pray. Please pray that the Lord will work it out for Victor to come. I know I've talked a long time and I've dumped an awful lot of information on you, but I'll just tell you quickly one more thing. I made reference to it this morning. Moldova is a very poor country, and it was probably the highlight of this second 3 years, just about. It was delivering groceries to people here. I'm sure he read you about it probably in the prayer letter, but that was just amazing to see the some of the people, the gratitude and receiving the groceries. And so I want you to know, some of your money, yes, we gave them groceries, but we also gave them the gospel. We would give them an in-person, simple gospel witness, and we'd leave them gospel tracts, and we'd leave them a Bible. And so some of your money, you help feed some. I'll just tell you about one woman that I went to visit. She was trying to work, but she was making about $6 a day. When she had work, she was making about $6 a day. She was trying to work. She had two children, a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old, and she was living in this basement room in what I would describe as an industrial park. I couldn't believe it when I saw where she lived, and that's where she and those two kids were living. And so, I mean, the food that we took them, that made a difference to those people. And so you have a part of that. And like I say, you reached all the way. And that woman, when we left, she was walking us out, and she just couldn't help it. She was just a crying. She was so grateful. And so I want you to know you're reaching all the way from Port Talis to Chisinau, Moldova. Well, I talked a long time. I promise you I'll try to preach quick. If you would, turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 8. If you have any questions afterwards, please feel free to ask, and I'll try to answer best I can. There's prayer cards back there on the table. I appreciate your prayers. Need your prayers so much.